First of all, I'd like to say good afternoon or good morning as the case may be, and welcome to the TGS Nopec third quarter conference call. My name is Hank Hamilton, and I'm the CEO of the company. Joining me today is Arne Helland, our CFO. I trust that most of, if not all of you have had the opportunity to view the webcast presentation that we posted earlier today concerning our third quarter results. I'd like to give just a brief recap of some of the key points in that presentation before we now open the floor for questions. Our third quarter results were largely in line with expectations. We had $32 million in net revenues for the quarter, which was a 50% increase over the same quarter a year ago. And we had $9.2 million in pre-tax profit. That compares to $600,000 pre-tax profit in the same quarter a year ago. Our quarterly earnings per share were 22 cents undiluted compared to a penny a year ago. We did see that higher than normal amortization and tax costs for the quarter negatively impacted our earnings, but on a 9-month year-to-date basis, our amortization and tax rates remain within a normal range. Importantly, our net late sales were $22.4 million, which is nearly double the level of the same quarter last year. And our pre-funding level was 46% of investments for the quarter and 50% for the first 9 months of the year. 80% of our net revenues for the quarter came from the North and South America markets, and in particular, our Gulf of Mexico sales were very strong. Also, our backlog of committed unrecognized net revenues for new projects increased by 12% during the quarter and by 80% over the level of a year ago. And this marks the fourth consecutive quarter of backlog increase for us. Well, we do continue to expect to achieve our target of approximately 10% full-year net revenue growth. And this is based on the normal fourth quarter sales effect we see in the multi-client business, the availability of several new projects we're delivering now, and anticipated strong interest in our products for Norway's upcoming 18th round. But we also want to add that in the event that the 18th round block announcement is delayed until very late in December, it's possible that we may see some slippage of some of our expected Q4 sales into next year. I think that summarizes the presentation that we made earlier. And at this point, we'd like to open the call to questions from the listeners.
If you have any questions, please star key followed by one. The first question is from Mr. R. Jensen in the company ABG Sundal Collier, please.
Hi, it's Richard Jensen. I'm from ABG. Is it possible for you, Hank, to quantify the potential slippage that you're talking about when it comes to sales related to the 18th licensing round? So if this effect actually takes place, what kind of a downside would we be looking at?
Right. It is very difficult to put a number on that. You'll probably recall in our last quarterly presentation, we listed a whole bunch of drivers for the second half of the year. And Norway's 18th round being one of the main ones, and now it's coming. We already see that it's coming a little later than we thought at that time, and could be delayed more. I would only comment that we wouldn't talk about it if we didn't think it was of, you know, some material magnitude to us. So I hesitate to put an exact number on it, but it is something that we'll have to watch.
Okay, I have one other question. How do you gauge the response that you've had in the Gulf of Mexico on the new service and new products that you have delivered? It seems to me as if there's quite a strong performance of the Phase 50 survey in the third quarter. And is there any similar response to the other surveys that you have been putting to the market in the second half of the year in the Gulf?
Yes, I think it's fair to say that. We did see that in particular our 2D sales during the quarter were strong, and of course that's because when you're doing a new 2D project, you don't have to wait until the entire project is completed before you can deliver it. You can deliver it line on a line by line basis, and so people can buy it earlier. With 3D, you have to wait until it's all completed before people can buy it. So we were delivering more and more Phase 50 during the third quarter. We have not yet delivered the new 3Ds that we've been working on, but we will deliver a large piece of that this month in November, and then a bigger piece in January next year. So we'll have to wait to see how the reaction is to those. But I think, you know, what you've said is a fair comment.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Sweater in Enskilda, please.
Yeah, hi, also here from Enskilda Securities. A couple of questions. We'd like to start. Could you please, Hank, give a little color about the sales of the 2002 vintage? We have seen for many quarters now that this is performing weak. Could you please give us a little bit more information why and when we could expect to see this sale from this vintage being triggered?
Right. I think the key factor there is that the 2002 vintage on the graphs we show contains no Gulf of Mexico products. We actually did not deliver any new Gulf of Mexico project during that year. And it is the Gulf of Mexico that is our strongest business right now. So as a result, we're seeing higher percentages from the other vintages. That particular vintage does contain some frontier surveys, which will be driven hopefully by licensing rounds in some of those areas next year. But again, I think we're well ahead of the minimum amortization schedule on those projects, and you know, these things will vary from quarter to quarter. So I think it's wise to continue to keep an eye on that on a quarterly basis as we go into next year. But I do expect some additional movement on those vintages or on the 2002 vintage next year.
So no expectation for some kind of forced amortization as we have seen from some of your competitors from the 2002 vintage?
No, it's written down to 50% of its original book value already. Our minimum amortization policy says that we have to have it written down to 60% by the end of this year, so we're ahead of pace already. And we also check each project to see if it should be written off or impaired in any way, and at this point we don't see any major problems.
Hmm. Could you also maybe give some kind of guidance for your expectation for multi-client investments for 2003 in a whole?
For 2003?
Yeah, or it's in the fourth quarter.
Right. So our original estimate was between 70 and 80 million for the year. We came back and refined that at the end of last quarter to say that it was going to be at the low end of that range, so around 70 million, and I think we still believe that's about where it's going to be. That implies more investment in the fourth quarter than we've had in the last couple of quarters, and that will be the case. We will be adding an ocean bottom cable crew onto our Deep Resolve project, so there will be additional investment there.
My last question is, what's the expectation you got right now for the seismic market for 2004 in general?
I think it's still a bit early to say, Asul. We haven't gotten a lot of information out of our customers yet about what their budget plans are for next year, so I can only look at it from a fundamental point of view, and that is that, you know, the U.S. economy is picking up. I think that's a benefit to us. The oil and gas prices continue to be quite good. I think that's a benefit to us. The cash flows of the oil companies are really excellent, and I think that's a benefit to us. So from that point of view, you would expect to see a stronger market. How much stronger, I don't know yet, and we will be coming out with guidance about next year later on.
Thank you very much, Hank.
Okay.
The next question is from Mr. Turnall in Yancy Renewal, please.
Oh, thank you, but my question was already asked, so I'll pass this on.
Okay, Mr. Safrai in the company Carl Frostenheimer, please.
This is Mary Caffrey at Carl Forsheimer. I wanted to ask you about the Gulf of Mexico. Are you seeing the pickup there for the shallow, for the deep shelf gas? Is that, or where is the interest going, do you think?
I think we still see a balance between our existing deep water inventory. We are seeing a growing interest in the shelf area, and in particular on the products that we're coming out with for the deep gas play. I do think that we are seeing quite a bit of strengthening in that sector of the business, but we continue to do reasonably well with our deep water surveys at the same time.
Okay. And another thing, what's your view now on industry consolidation now that PGS is out of bankruptcy, and where do you see this going in general for the industry?
Yes. I believe that the industry would certainly benefit from some consolidation among at least the four large players who control most of the seismic acquisition assets in the business. And I think that at least some of those players are quite motivated to try and consolidate. So it wouldn't surprise me to see that happening.
Okay. All right. Thanks very much.
The next question is from Mr. Anderson in Alfred Dorr, please.
Yeah, hello, Hank and Arne. This is Kjell Erik from Alfred Dorr. Just a follow-up question on the investments. Could you indicate for us, so far this year, the pre-funding percentage has been fairly high, quite higher than what you guided on earlier. Could you give us some indication on the pre-funding percentages of in the fourth quarter? Will it drop down below 40, or will it stay up at these levels around 45-47%? Especially with regards to the deeper soil survey, which perhaps has a slightly less pre-funding degree.
Yeah, I think that the range we gave for the full year was between 40-50% originally, and we've been closer to 50% than 40% for most of the year. I think it's possible that you'll see it dip a little below the third quarter level in the fourth quarter, but I think we'll still be well within the range that we've talked about for the full year.
Okay. And another question. The backlog has increased for four consecutive quarters. Could you give us the status of the backlog right now? We are in the middle of the fourth quarter.
I don't really know that there have been material changes that I can report at this time on that, shall I?
Okay. No material changes. So that means that the intake or pre-funding is same pace as the early stage so far.
Right.
Okay.
That's a fair statement at this stage.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question is from Mr. Johnson in the company ABT, please.
Yeah, I had a follow-up question again, Hank. The acquisition of Riley Lodge, what can you tell us about your expectation for returns on that investment? Is it possible to say something about the revenue level that it will generate next year, or how front-loaded will the return profile be?
Right. Well, I think it will take some time to get the full benefit, because what Riley has is a very large inventory of paper well logs. And, of course, our concept is to get the well logs into a digital format, and that doesn't happen so that we can provide them to customers very efficiently. And that won't happen overnight. It takes some time to go through the process of actually getting them into the right format that we want. So, I do expect to see some revenue impact next year. And I think, Richard, what I'd like to do is wait until we've actually closed the transaction, and then we can come out with a little bit more guidance on that.
Hmm. Okay. But it sounds as if it's nothing that we should aggressively put into our forecast right now, or at least until you've given us more guidance. But it's the actual digitalization of these paper logs, will that take up the investments in A2D significantly next year?
It will certainly keep them at least at a steady pace, maybe a slight increase.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Olaisen in Carnegie, please.
Hi there. I've got two questions. The first regarding the guidance on the investments for this year. I just wonder, the 9 million you're paying for Relay, is that included in the guidance of roughly 70?
No.
No. Second question, most of your competitors are cutting back significantly on their multi-client investments. Do you see any trends here about, among oil companies? Do they tend to prefer more contract work in general, or do you think this cutback in investments, multi-client investments, is due to the financial situations of your competitors?
I believe that the second part of your statement is true. I think they have not seen a good return in general on the multi-client investments over the past 2 years. And I think this is a natural reaction to that. I think the customer in general still likes the multi-client model, especially in exploration areas. And when you get down to the reservoir seismic level, though, then the customer really wants to control a lot more of the process and have the project done exactly to his specification. So in the production-related seismic or reservoir-related seismic, then I think the customer does prefer the contract model because he gets it exactly the way he wants it. The multi-client model is more a way for the customer to stretch his dollars further and cover bigger areas.
So in general, oil companies tend to prefer seismic than closer to production or production facilities at the moment.
No, I wouldn't say that. I would say they need seismic for both exploration and production. And depending on what purpose it's for, they may prefer multi-client versus contract. And I think the closer you are to the multi-client model also doesn't perform very well on a reservoir level, because how many customers are willing to buy seismic data over one company's producing field?
Yeah, I see that. It's just that the contract market seems to be growing quite steadily, actually, and the multi-client market seems to be slowing down. It's decreasing, actually.
Yes. Part of that, I think, is related to the fact that during, let's say, 2000 and 2001, when there was a big overhang on capacity, a lot of projects that really should have been contract work were done as multi-client because, many of the seismic players had to keep their assets busy. So I think the size of the multi-client market in 2000 and 2001 was a little bit artificially high, so to speak.
Just to follow up on that, have you had any offer to buy chunks of multi-client data from competitors of yours? Would you expect to see that happening in the future?
We do maintain a dialogue with a number of our competitors about various assets that could be for sale or that could be traded and so forth. So we try to keep an eye on that. And we have done a few of those in the past, and I would hope that we'll be able to continue to do some of those things in a smart way.
Thank you. Those were all my questions.
If you have more questions, please press star key followed by one. Thank you. Next question is from Mr. Hamestad in Pareto, please.
Yeah, good afternoon. I understand Canada and Brazil was pretty weak in the third quarter. Do you see any upswing there for the next couple of quarters?
I don't think we said that Canada and Brazil were weak. We said that North and South America were 80% of our sales, and that in particular Gulf of Mexico was strong. But we did see sales in both of those markets during the quarter. I guess we did hear an announcement from Brazil that their next round will not be until the summertime now. Earlier they had indicated a desire to try and accelerate the rounds, the schedule of rounds, and we were hoping for a February round. That's now been pushed back. So that's a little bit disappointing. But I think Canada is pretty much on plan.
Yeah, there's a round there in the fourth quarter.
Will that positive affect the fourth quarter, or has it already sold in this quarter?
I think we've probably seen most of the impact of that already.
Okay, thanks.
Please press star key followed by one if you have more questions. It seems to be no more questions, Mr. Hamilton.
Okay. Well, on behalf of Arne and I, I'd like to say thanks for joining in. Good to hear from you. And we'll see you next quarter.
Talk.